You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Cammy here. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Heart and Hand. If you happen to listen to the shows on the Apple, Android or Spotify platforms, could you please give Heart and Hand a follow on there? They may also ask you to write a wee review, and if you could write us a really good one, we would massively appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hello everyone and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. This is your extra show for the week. My name is Cameron Bell, I'm your host as always, and I'm delighted to be joined by a rather strong stalwart, I would say, of our Heart and Hand community across on our Patreon site, Mr. Kevin Armstrong. Kevin, thank you for joining me, it's much appreciated.
Always a pleasure to help you out on Extra, Cammy. It's a non-stop world of Rangers news right now, isn't it?
Well, it is, because those fixtures are coming thick and fast. Last night, we got a draw in Benfica, which I think was very, very well deserved. Very unlucky, I think, actually, Kev, not to come away with a win. And we'll talk about that just shortly. And also look forward to this weekend's return to the Scottish Cup as we travel through to Edinburgh on Sunday to take on Hibs at Easter Road. Before we get into all of that, just a quick apology for those of you who listened to Monday's flagship and there was some sound issues. We do apologise. It was a slight technical problem. And again, I pass on my apologies from David and CJ and Stevie. I hope it didn't put you off too much on what was an excellent pod, but like I say, it's these things happen in the world of technology. Kev, if this doesn't cut out about eight times during our recording, I'll consider that a good session.
I'm not recording from a metal workshop, so we should be all right, mate. we should hopefully be a wee bit better, but you're right, a wee peek behind the curtain. We could be sitting here talking, you don't know there's any issues, you can check it and post, and then the minute it goes up, somebody says there's a problem. So it's not David and Alad's fault, it's just one of these things, as you say, ghosts in the machine.
Yeah, absolutely. But on a completely unrelated note, if you would like to win a Heart and Hand spice rack, then no, listen, I'm only joking. Right, okay, Kev, let's get into it. Last night, we saw an odd pause since our return back to Europa League action, because as group winners, obviously, we missed out the last round and we travelled to Portugal to take on Benfica. Kev, yourself and a few of the boys do our preview show on our Patreon site. Give me a little snippet of what you were expecting going into this one.
Well, fair play to Stephen Harrigan. He does the hard yards on the preview. He told us everything you needed to know about them, even down to where Di Maria would put a penalty kick should he win one, which unfortunately for us he did. He converted it well. He also said the goalkeeper likes to flap at things, which he did for our goal, our second goal. There's a lot of hard work that goes into the preview, even down to where they put corners, everything you would need to know, and a whole lot more discussion goes on in that show. It's one of the, I'll say, the most interactive of the network shows, because there is people that totally agree with some of the things, totally disagree. This is why we love the Heartland community. But yeah, it's, the main thing was, Cammy, we knew that this was a very good side with some very good players who were going to cause a lot of problems, but also that we could get joy, and they were not in the best of confidence going into this match. And I think all of that came true.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. The big thing, I think, more than anything else, Kevin, and I know this is going to sound a bit strange, because you sometimes have like that gap, right, that 2 months plus of no European fixtures. And obviously it allows you that opportunity to get your stupid winter break out of the way and then focus on what's been happening domestically, of which we've clearly been taking advantage of. But then you go back to Europe. Now, the manager, and it's interesting that we're going to talk about this on back-to-back games, as we're going to do on today's show, because the manager always refers to cup games as a sprint, but he talks about the league as a marathon. And I always think that's an interesting analogy. I completely agree with him, because, again, it can be a sprint that comes to a dead halt real fast, right? The league will always continue to go on, and then sometimes it'll go for you, other times it won't. But, you know, these are the things that happen when you're going through a domestic competition across, you know, so many months. When we get back into European competition, however, it's something for me which I'm always keen to be able to try and see how a revised squad with the January intake will approach it. And also how you go back up to that degree of tempo. Now, we're going to talk about our tempo, you know, in due order. But I think one of the things that really took me by surprise within this was Benfica came out for a strong start. Now, Benfica, for anyone who doesn't know, get turned over last weekend domestically by Porto. There has been an uproar, both in-house and outside their camp, about the response to that. And they were going to have to be able to try and produce something. And I think it's fair to say, Kev, that they did start very well. Jack Butland made a number of saves throughout the entire game, really, but right at the beginning of the game, had to produce some very decent, solid stops. However, as we always like to do, Rangers were not there to take part. They were just simply there to be able to impress upon how we can be a European force yet again. And that was certainly produced by Tom Lawrence, just with 6.5 minutes on the clock. Lovely piece of work on the left-hand side. Diamandé is able to create some space and puts in a lovely floated, weighted ball and just puts it on an absolute pedestal for Tom Lawrence to get the header away. We had weathered that very, very early brief storm, Kev, but everyone's saying, oh, I'd take a draw, you know, as long as we're still in the tie in the second leg before kickoff, are now turning around and going, sometimes Rangers just need to remind you why they're Rangers.
If you want to use the boxing match analogy, they came out all fists and fury, we weathered it, we covered up, and then we put one on their chin. it was a wonderful goal, it really was. For all they were coming at us, we got the ball down, we played some nice football down the left. We'll speak about Fabio Silva, who looked really determined to prove something back in his homeland. Wonderful ball to Diomande and the underlap, and a brilliant ball back. And Tom Lawrence is just sort of loitering about the edge of the box. He sees it develop, he times his run perfectly, just redirects it because all the pace is on the ball. 1-0, and as we know, Cammy, all too well, that if your team is in a bad place, the crowd is grumpy with them, the worst thing they can do is concede the first goal. It doesn't exactly help with team morale or crowd spirit. Absolutely perfect for Rangers, and we would sort of see and test what they were really like. Now, they're still a fantastic football team, but this is pretty much the best possible start we could hope for.
Actually, do you know what? It sounds strange to say this, right? But I felt this was the best possible start, rather than just simply going out and scoring within the first couple of minutes. Because I think a running theme, as we're going to talk about this particular game of football, Kevin, is the frustration that built up with the home side, with, you know, the home fans, because we've not allowed ourselves to concede. We've played well up to, as I say, the first few minutes of the game. Yeah, we've absorbed some pressure, and that's fine, we can do that. this isn't necessarily hitting them as a sucker punch, which was like, you know, a 90th minute winner and anything like that as well. But what it did do, to continue the analogy, was if we've taken a few jabs, we've hit them with a ringer. Was it a knockout punch? Not by any stretch. I don't think anyone, you know, would have expected that so early on. But it let them know that we were absolutely there to go toe-to-toe with them. And the main thing I would say within this, from Diomande's setup to the Lawrence timing of the run, which, again, like you say, very, very important, because he arrives into the box late, and that's something which I know he's keen on doing and does very well. Then the position of where the ball has to get played into meets it perfectly. It shows that we've got absolute talent in our team. Now, it's on paper, nowhere near comparable. However, games are not played in paper, as they say.
No, I mean, I'm such a big believer in strikers will play the type of ball they like to receive. Clearly, that's the same with attacking midfielders, because Diomande puts it exactly where he would want it to be. And yeah, so Lawrence just simply redirects it. And like you say, if you run the numbers right, how many free transfers did we have in our team? Our team probably cost 20 million, 25 million, something like that. If you're lucky and rounding up, probably wouldn't buy you one of their subs. But you're right. It's why we love football, Cammy, because if money could buy you happiness, and it can buy you the best players in the world, but it can also buy you a lot of rubbish. And I'm not saying the Benfica players are rubbish. They're not. There's a lot of very good players in that squad. But this is why we love football, because it's not just going out and spending money on players. Christ, Chelsea would be unbeatable if it was just spending money on players. But it's what you can do with a team, what you can build a squad, and in our case, how you can rebuild a squad midway through a season. Because no matter where we go, if we end this run next week, right, we will look at the highs and lows of this European campaign. We'll look at how bad we were in Cyprus. We'll look at how brilliant we were in the Betis game. And now we've went to play Benfica in their own backyard. And we've went toe-to-toe with them, like you say. And we have, we've sort of said, right, okay, that's you. Gave us your opening flurry. Here's our opening flurry. There's a goal for you. How are you going to react? How do you like it? And to be fair, I think it took them a wee while to regroup. I mean, they came out, but they were certainly wobbling for a wee while.
They were. And listen, as much as you can talk about, you know, again, value on paper, that you're also talking about, and let's face it, I know we'll come on to talk about them in more detail, but an Angel Di Maria, a player who I've always admired probably up until, you know, last night. And obviously Nicolas Otamendi, you're talking about two World Cup winners, obviously, in terms of what they're capable of doing. So huge experience, especially, you know, at latter levels of the tournament. But coming back into the game, I think it's fair to say, Kev, we started to absorb a little bit more of that pressure. A tough one for me, Kev, which happened probably at the right time, but the wrong time, if that makes sense, because Dijon Sterling takes a booking just before the half-hour mark. I felt this was a little bit silly, if I'm being honest. He's outstretched to be able to try and get close to the ball, which I don't think he was going to be able to create much from. There is a clear foul on Otamendi, but I think he's hammed up, but, you know, he sold it and the referees bought it. Again, I was just a little bit frustrated at that, but in hindsight, I think the important thing is it also showed we weren't there to be bullied and that we could put in tackles, albeit this one was a slight mistiming, but he's also committed to be able to try and get it. It does, however, put him in a yellow card, and there was a few other occasions later on in the game, Kev, I'll be honest with you, I thought he just needs to watch himself and kind of calm down, because we knew this was going to be a tough game. We knew it was going to be a big effort from everyone, but that effort only gets compounded when you then have a man off in your team.
It does. Listen, you cannot fault his effort, his work rate. Nobody's going to bully Dijon Sterling. I don't want to use the word clumsy, because that's the wrong word, but he's sometimes a wee bit over-eager. And listen, that's not a bad thing. We want our players to be desperate to win that ball back and to go in full-hearted to every challenge. But the old dark arts, Benfica are quite good at them, whether it's jumping up high, screaming for fouls. That man you talked about, Di Maria, later on, would do about 3-4 somersaults and backward flips and rolls when Gunnar Olsen dared brush against him in the penalty box. Otamendi here, listen, it's a free kick, right? I think if that's in a game in Scotland, the defender goes down, they get the free kick, we play on. He decided to jump up, scream like he was in a wartime drama. The referees bought it and booked him. And you're right, towards the end of the half, there was a couple of things where you could sort of just say, calm down, big man, just calm. Don't give him any reason to think about sending you off. And to be fair, after the halftime interval, I think it did calm it down. But you're right, there was a slight worry, just with inexperience, and perhaps being too impressed, because he's done a lot of things really well this season for the Sterling. And this game, he would go on to do something particularly good, but we're spoiling it. But no, at this point, I say, Cammy, for me, it's a foul. If you want to be harsh, you could give a booking, but it's one of those ones with the blue-tinted specs on. If you're watching a neutral game, you're probably like, that's not a booking, mate, just play on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And I think we always try and look it through the barometer. Now, I know other clubs are just absolutely object to being able to do this, but we try and look through the barometer, Kev, of if that happened to you, would you be expecting a card? And I'll be honest with you, I would be expecting a card. So, do you know what I mean? All's fair in love and war. I think you just have to be able to take that. Jack Butland continues to make some great saves. One in particular he decided to do when he had a wee lie down. And caught the ball and as it was just I think heading over his head at that point, Kev, but he managed to get an outstretched arm to it after a fantastic save and looked absolutely brilliant in terms of just providing constant saves after save. The issue became, as we'll talk about in just a moment, what happened next. Now, I want to talk about Angel Di Maria in the first half, because just before we got the Benfica equaliser from a Di Maria penalty, he gets a booking, Kev. Interesting to kind of get your thoughts on this, because there's a little bit of a kind of stramash, to use that famous Scottish parlance, that a couple of players coming together. Ridvan takes a sore one. I forgive me, I can't remember which player it is that stands over the top of him to be able to have a go at him. Diomande steps into this. There's a bit of a furore, and this all came about because of Angel Di Maria grabbing Ridvan Yilmaz really by the neck, almost a certain, you know, push to the ground, which quite rightly earned him a booking. And for me, it was quite subject to this premise, Kev, that Benfica were not happy. They were playing well enough to be able to test the goalkeeper, but what they were not doing was being clinical enough and probably being a little bit sloppy in the final third, I think it's fair to say. Was this a booking for you? Did you think it could have been more? Was it just a little bit of kind of handbags? Where did it rank for you?
Well, your first point I'll take on Jack Butland. I think every one of our female supporters wished they were that ball when they just sort of landed on Jack Butland's chest as he was lying down. I think they were all pretty jealous of that.
I wish it was me. I don't even care about the females. I do as well. Handsome Jack, I'd marry him tomorrow if he would have me.
He's too handsome to be a goalkeeper, isn't he? Growing up, goalkeepers for me were always like that. Remember that Coventry one? Was that Steve Grusnovic or something? But anyway, we're getting off on a tangent. But he's far too handsome to be a goalkeeper. He was pretty brilliant tonight again. On the Di Maria booking, it's frustration, Cammy. It is. We've all seen Rangers players do it in the past where the crowd are getting on your back, so it comes out in one way or another. You're right, I think certainly in the first half there was a couple of times when they could have got a shot away, but they chose an extra touch and an extra pass. Again, whether that's because the crowd were getting on at them and scored, this is, again, where we've spoken about our own crowd and how that can affect the players. And it's just frustration from Di Maria. He would go on to influence the game with some wonderful set plays, some dynamite crosses into the box. But here it was just simply frustration. It wasn't going his way. And if you're going to be kind to him, that's what good players do. They get frustrated when things aren't going their way. They don't hide. Now, you could argue that whether or not pushing a defender in the face, back, neck, whatever he hit Ridvan, is the way to go about it. But aye, for me, a booking's fair. It's silly. It's one of these ones that, if it, again, take your blue tinted specs off. If it happens against us, I'm not really appealing. Well, it did happen against us, obviously, but if it happens for one of our players, I'm not expecting them to be sent off. So fair's fair here. I'm not expecting them to be sent off for that. A booking's fair, but as no doubt you'll come on to talk about, it could have led to more.
Yeah, it absolutely could have. Now, again, we've given Jack Butland all the praise in the world, and rightly so. There is an issue which then appears for us to be able to concede a penalty from a corner, Kev. I think it's fair to say that whilst I appreciate exactly why Butland's doing what he's trying to do, there are times where he's obviously trying to maintain the tempo of the game and get the ball out quickly. This, I think, probably came back to bite us in the arse. Now, we are obviously going to talk about the penalty that John Souter conceded. I'm going to be honest with you, Kev, right? And again, we've taken a breath to be able to try and review the game, and I'm still probably in the same space of mind I was when I watched that live last night. It just feels to me that this law that means that any kind of form of contact with your hand, where he is attempting to try and head the ball.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
He has to put his arms out, okay, to be able to try and propel himself, right? He has to be able to try and get there because, you know, if he jumps without putting his hands out, he runs the risk of potentially making contact, head-on-head contact with another player. That could cause some real problems. Being able to put your arms out protects you, protects other players around you. Now, if he jumps into a guy and shoves him out the road or, you know, elbows him or whatever, 100% a penalty, right? That's not what I'm saying. This law to me, Kev, feels like it's been written by someone who has never tried to defend a header at a near post. When a ball's coming at you at speed in mid-air and how you're able to try and get to it by maintaining your arms at your side is ridiculous. But there also has to be some degree of leeway in terms of where the ball comes off you and then how much time you've got to be able to react to get your hands out of the way, of which case there's none, genuinely none. I don't think he's got any idea where his hands are at this point, that the ball then has to ricochet off of them. I know that some people say it's a naivety. I don't know if I subscribe to that. What I do fully subscribe to is this law needs changed, because I don't know anyone in football who likes it.
No, it's all over the place. I agree with you. I mean, what you meant to do, you meant to just play football with your hands tied behind your back so that you don't concede any penalties. I mean, there was a game down south, I can't remember who it was, where a defender jumped up and he'd done that thing where he was trying to head it off the line, never quite made it, so stuck his hand up to make his head bigger. Penalty, fair enough, no complaints. It didn't actually get given, but if that's given, you're like, fair enough, penalty, because he's tried to cheat. There's a rake of bodies in there. Souter's grappling with people, trying to get them out of the way, trying to win his space and trying to win the header. He's not doing a star jump. He's not going up trying to block the ball with his hand. He's headed it off himself. It's one of those ones that we don't like the law, but even with the law as it is, it's all this unnatural position. But what is a natural position for trying to win a header with other players round about you? I agree, Cammy. I think it's been written by somebody that, as you say, has never played a football at any sort of level, because it's just, I mean, how could you look at that and say that is a penalty kick? And listen, we're not the only ones that's aggrieved by it, and you only need to go back a week and look at all the penalty decisions in our games and how you can say the ones that have been given as penalties are penalties. It's absolutely baffling.
No, I mean, that's exactly it, and that's why it becomes so frustrating. And again, being the football hypocrite that I am, had that been another end of the park and it happened to them, I'd be claiming it, because again, it's the application of that law, right? So I get what I think will genuinely happen, Kevin, is it'll reach the higher echelons. It'll happen to a club that's massive, one of the elite teams, or whether or not it happens in an international stage, I don't know. But someone will bang the drum loud enough that effectively it means that it will get changed, because it just needs someone with that kind of gravitas to be able to try and change it on a European level. That's what has to happen. So at this point, Kev, we've conceded an equaliser just before half-time, and you're thinking to yourself, well, listen, you know, let's get into the break. Quite happy with the draw so far. We'll regroup and see what happens. Well, Dijon Sterling had other ideas. Before I come on to Sterling's finish, Kev, you mentioned them earlier on in terms of Fabio Silva. Asked to play slightly out in the left tonight. Coming back to Portugal, obviously, Benfica, etc., you know, areas of which he's very, very well familiar and very well experienced. I'm going to be honest with you, right? We have talked a lot about what Fabio Silva can contribute. Never once have we turned around and called him lazy. And I'll be honest with you, Kev, you know, Benfica last night, another shining example of how unselfish he is as a player, because I thought he put in an absolute ton of work towards that left-hand side. Cyril Dessers, I don't really think, got a sniff of the ball, Kevin. I really genuinely don't. But Dessers was, at times, an option for Silva, but not really an option, if that makes sense, because he didn't want to work to be able to try and contain the ball and then be able to try and pass it just to lose it again if Dessers couldn't get a touch on it. It was a really, really tough shift for him. Silva, however, I think makes this goal through just some wonderfully creative play. A shot, because it is a shot, which takes a deflection, goes through the legs of one of the Benfica defenders and meets Dijon Sterling. And it's a lovely finish. I don't want to take anything away from that. People may look at that and think that that's a quite straightforward tap. It's not a straightforward tap, and that ball is still moving at pace, and he has to be able to try and time his run appropriately so that he can get in the end of it and just place it by the keeper. For me, a great goal, a brilliant goal, created initially out of Fabio Silva's hard work and endeavour, and finished beautifully with a penetrative Dijon Sterling, who was coming into the box at the right time. And just a lovely, calm and composed finish. He did have to think about it, but he did absolutely what he had to make sure that move was finished off lovely. And I'll be honest with you, let's use that old cliche, Kev, it couldn't have come at a better time for us just to be able to get into the break energised.
Well, first on Silva, I remember when we first seen him and I was impressed with his work rate. I was, but the thing concerned me was that I don't think he would score us enough goals. Now that's sort of where we are. He get moved out left wing when he came on Sunday or Saturday for McCausland, and I thought he maybe hampered Ridvan a wee bit at the weekend. I just thought he occupied the sort of space that Ridvan normally ran into. But tonight they worked brilliantly together. You're right. The work that he puts in was so crucial to help get us out. Dessers wasn't really doing that for us. As with Silva, was taking on two or three men, committing them, getting a throw, getting us up the pitch, calming us down a wee bit. He's evolved in the two goals by playing the ball to Diamande. And then here, I'll be kind and say it's a cross, right? I'll say it's a cross that he's played off a defender. And you're right, Sterling tucks it away brilliantly. I think we maybe have to go back and review some of the early comments on Sterling that when he said, when he joined, he was just a defender and wasn't really too interested in going forward and stuff like that, because he got one goal here, then a couple of minutes he's trying a sort of a volley towards goal on his weak foot. So he was full of confidence after this one. It's just the perfect timing of the run. It's so hard to defend those late runs. And you're right, it's a cool, composed finish, because that we've seen players that would butter that over the bar from there. He just got overexcited. He kept it down. Slotted it past the keeper, and just when they think they've got back in the game and they're going to maybe get cheered off with a crowd at half-time, Rangers of other ideas, lads.
That was what was interesting to me, because again, I think that there was an expectant home crowd there, and again, they probably just thought, that's it, that's fine, we've got the pen, we've got the equaliser, you know, we'll go into the second half, we'll give them a bit of a rock up the arsenal and see what happens. And as much as we're going to talk about this Rangers team, Kevin, in terms of the effort that they put in and probably some of the tiredness, because I do think the team look and feel a bit leggy. I think we looked like that against Motherwell last Saturday. I understand why, by the way. I don't think whatsoever it's anything to do with the lack of fitness or the lack of, I don't think it's any of those things. I fully believe it's because we're having to be able to go to the well so many times with the same players that it's starting to take an effect on them. So I totally understand that. It's why when we get to the international break, I would tell every single one of them, sit down, don't move. That's it. We will bring you cups of tea, but you stick your feet up. But what you cannot decry from this team is that effort being applied right up until the whistle. And in this case, the first half whistle. Great finishing move, which totally complemented Fabio Silva's efforts out on the left-hand side to be able to come in. And I'll be honest with you, as much as we say this in terms of where this is at, and I think certain people, will look at this and go, oh, it's luck, it's everything. It's not luck. This is about effort and endeavour and being able to go across that place, which was always going to be a hard game, which I think the vast majority of us thought, as long as we can go over there and keep it respectable, not to lose, but I mean, just, you know, keep the tie alive. And as long as we get something at Ibrox, and Ibrox, you know, is always going to be its own magical arena that can make, you know, dreams come to life. But as long as we can do that. And again, like I say, get into the second half, Kev, I thought this is good. Worst case scenario, even if we were to lose from this point, it's not going to be by much. So I know that will sound incredibly pessimistic. But at halftime, Kev, were you feeling that we could definitely get through this, you know, taking a lead back to Ibrox? Or were you a little bit kind of shell-shocked in terms of how the game had panned out in the first 45?
I'd actually tipped us to win 2-1 on our previous show. So I thought
so it would just fall into place for you.
I was just wanting a full-time whistle, mate. I thought there would be more goals in the game, right? Because they were playing exceptionally well, but they looked as if they had a wee bit of weakness at the back. You're 100% right with this squad is stretched. John Lundstrom, who we'll probably talk about, I thought he tired right towards the end of the game, which is understandable considering he's been carrying a midfield on his back for the last 4 or 5 months. And it showed in his passing. But again, you can't criticise players for giving us everything they've got. It's something that we demand as a club from everyone that walks through the front door. Half-time, I was happy to be leading, especially after the penalty award. But yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say, Cammy, that our defence, they play well, but they've always got a brain fart, especially coming off the Motherwell game. We were going to have to be absolutely perfect, and I just don't know if we were there yet. So I expected more goals, but again, it's the old adage that had you offered us that position before a ball was kicked, I think everyone would have taken it.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Second half, Kev, I think we came back out looking, again, fairly lively. There is a booking on Yilmaz for a foul, which I think was quite a sensible thing he had to do. The move initially begins. John Lundstrom isn't able to get a tackle in the Benfica half. They come forward with the ball, and Ridvan does the right thing, causes the foul, takes the booking. And I think at that point, we were all kind of sitting saying, well, okay, fair enough, it's not too bad. And for the majority of us who were watching on television, Kev, this kind of came out of nowhere. Angel Di Maria puts in a lovely ball, right? And I don't think we can underestimate that. Connor Goldson, I think for me, Kev, he's caught in a couple of decisions. He wants to be able to try and see if he can head it to the side because he knows it's not going to be... He's not going to be able to get underneath it to be able to try and head it away from goal. So he wants to be able, like, directly in front of goal. What he wants to be able to try is see if he can put it to the side. But the ball has probably got too much pace on him that when he jumps and makes his decision, he then has to change it to, I just need to get something on this because I don't know what's behind me. And what he then attempts to do is put enough on it so it goes over Jack Butland's bar. What he ends up doing, obviously, is gets caught right in the middle and sails past Jack Butland with nothing that he can do about it. There was conversation and commentary about, you know, whether or not Butland was going to come for it. I don't know about you, Kev, keen to get your opinion on this. I don't think he was coming for it at any point. I also don't think, you know, Goldson heard a shout from him. It's one of those situations, and I understand why people get frustrated with it, because it's almost like, in order for us to concede, it takes a brain fart from one of our defenders. Maybe it's just me being me, and then again, like I say, having slept on it, maybe I'm just a little bit more kind of calmed down. I just find it tough to blame Connor Goldson for this, because I think he's caught in no man's land. He has to make a decision and ultimately makes the wrong one. But I'm going to give him a bit of defence, no pun intended, to say that it's a hell of a ball that he has to be able to try and deal with. And it just causes us a lot of problems, and ultimately gets Benfica their second equaliser.
The ball is tremendous. We know that Di Maria has wonderful delivery on that left foot. He showed it the full game. One thing we cannot accuse Jack Butland for is not coming for crosses that he thinks he could get. I don't think he could have came for this one. There was just too much speed and dip on the ball. I think also John Souter just maybe gets in his line of vision. It's one of these things, Cammy. It's just a good ball. It's a bit unfortunate. But with the amount of balls that Conor Goldson heads away for us over a season, I don't think we can really complain. And you're right, I mean, there was one, I think it was either just before this or just after it, where the ball goes through, Butland comes out for it, Souter's sort of there, Goldson's sort of there. Rather than fart about with it, Goldson just gets something on it and lofts it out of the park, then they discuss it. He's obviously trying to do something similar here. It's come off his head and went in. Again, sometimes you just need to accept it and move on. Again, if we'd offered us the draw before the game and said, look, you can see the penalty in an own goal with the players they've got in their squad, I think you would be quite pleased with that. And it just shows you how well we performed on the night, that that's what they've had to do to score against us.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, I mean, I've not had a chance to watch back the full 90 again, Kev. I dare say I will, but I also think, you know, it's fine. Yes, this is a mistake. But, you know, if Conor Goldson's listening to this, I would be expecting him to say to himself, yeah, but there's been a number, and there has been a number, right? So, you know, let's come out of the moment. But there has been a number of critical blocks, interceptions, tackles that he's made, you know, on the night, which has kept us in this tie. I don't think that's unfair, or maybe I'm just reaching, but, you know, the good far outweighed the bad in terms of what you saw for Conor Goldson last night.
I love Conor Goldson. probably the wrong person to ask about it. I absolutely adore him. I think he's been brilliant, a wonderful servant for the club. That's probably the story of his Rangers career, where the good far outweighs the bad. Again, it's quality players, quality delivery into the box. I wish we had someone that could deliver as well as Angel Di Maria. It's just both centre-backs coming off a rocky weekend. I think they've played well and have been in the bad end of a bit of luck. If they perform like that week in and week out, I don't think we'll be too far away.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, again, I want to be kind of honest, Kev. I think that the last kind of closing spell, last 20 minutes of the game, immediately following, you know, that goal and what we were capable of doing at that stage, I think for me, we did start to properly look leggy. It looked at times like as if we were kind of wading through mud. Totally understandable because, again, like I say, the effort that had been put in by that stage. We made a number of subs and congratulations to young Cole McKinnon for coming on, which I think is fantastic for him. We know that the squad is threadbare, but still the young man came in, made a great block later on in the game as well, which I think looked absolutely fantastic. So very well done to him for that as well. So I think at this stage, it felt a little bit to me like we did have to absorb, Kev, right? We had to be able to see Benfica come in, and there were some opportunities for them to be able to go in front. Couldn't capitalise on them. As I say, we stuck to our task. And then again, probably epitomised by young Ross McCausland. And by the way, I know that there was a lot of noise, Kev, right, around what happened last Saturday. The boy Casey who tackled him shouldn't have been on the park and all the rest of it. The fact that if you could have said to me on Saturdays when we were leaving Ibrox, Kev, Ross McCausland will play even 30 seconds on Thursday night, I would not have believed you. So the fact that he's been able to come in is testament to how quick his recovery has been to that. Well done to that young man. But I also just want to commend the other guys who came on at that point. Kamal Roof, I thought, did very, very well in terms of being able to try and do a little bit of hold-up play, using his nuances, understanding that. Cole McKinnon, I mentioned Ryan Jack. Nico Raskan came on, again, made himself busy within that space. And then obviously at the end of that, Ross McCausland came on. And I thought, you know, he got stuck into it. He looked lively as well. I'm going to come on to my final point in just a moment, Kev. But in terms of the game management, I think that the manager takes a lot of credit for that. I think the players have to take a lot of credit for that. No one is going to sit on any of our pods and say that we are a team bursting with energy that can see you right through to the final whistle. Sometimes it can just be about just see it out. Just understand what you have to do. Minimise mistakes whenever you possibly can. Don't get too sloppy with it. But if you see it through, then you'll be able to come away with what you're ideally looking for.
Yeah, it's probably something that we could say the opposite in the Motherwell game. I think when we equalised, we sort of went a wee bit gung-ho, and that sort of cost us. So perhaps that was just a wee reminder if we needed one. And you're right, I think we got to a certain point and we sort of declared, look, let's just keep this. We're more than happy with this. Let's get them back to Ibrox and see what we could do. And you're right, I don't think we had the legs for it. Diamandé put in a hell of a shift. Some lovely moments. Really, really impressed with him so far in his Rangers career. Just looks so cool, composed. Those wee turns he does under pressure just to get the ball out of his feet and find a new direction. Absolutely wonderful. He put in a shift. He was knackered. Lundstrom's passing got really sloppy and could have cost us, if we're being honest, could have cost us, but didn't. We got away with it. But again, I find it hard to be too hard on him because of what he's put into the team. Raskin and other players need to step up and really start helping. I know Raskin's come in for a lot of criticism lately. Hopefully we can sort of see more of him because we need reinforcements in that midfield. Listen, Kamal Roof is what Kamal Roof is. We know his quality, but we know he's made of plasticine and whatnot. He just seems to bend and break all the time. But if we could have him fit for the running, it would be absolutely ideal because he is a quality player. Even the two youngsters that come on, I know McCausland probably doesn't count as a youngster now, but they've done their job, they stuck to their task, they contributed, they got us up the pitch, and even though the ball was going out for throw-in right at their corner flag, they were sort of taking it from 20 yards away, but that's what we had to do, and we sort of killed the game a wee bit. Fair enough. The manager, I say, he's clever enough to know that we probably had limited the energy left, and as you say, just see it out, and we'll go at them again next week.
We will go at them again next week, Kevin. I'm glad you've teed me up for that, because one player who, as far as I'm concerned, we should not be going up against next week is the aforementioned Angel Di Maria. Already on a booking for the foul on Ridvan Yilmaz in the first half. There's a small break of play, Kev, where he thinks that he should be able to get a foul. He doesn't get a foul, and then he slides in at pace dangerously, as far as I'm concerned. I think it was actually Yilmaz he hit at the end. Forgive me, as I say, I've not had a chance to be able to try and watch the whole game back. It is, for me, clear as day booking. And obviously, second one, therefore, he's off. And I think at this point, despite the fact that I just wanted the final whistle and we were, you know, a hair's breadth away from it, I was so frustrated at the fact that the referee did not take action at that point. And what was even better was the fact that some of these, you know, I mean, you couldn't mark their neck with a blowtorch. Some of these players, the Benfica players, were actually surrounding the referee at full time. But Angel Di Maria should have been off at that point, as far as I'm concerned. He should not be playing at Ibrox next week. Now, listen, please, and I beg everyone's forgiveness, that if he turns up and puts on a show and, you know, again, like I say, he helps Benfica get through to the next stage, then I'm going to be mega pissed off about it. So I don't want to jinx it. But he absolutely should not be taking any part in that game next week, as far as I'm concerned, Kevin. What's your thoughts?
I agree. He also had the one where there was a foul on Suter and he continued to play on and run in, and you can say shoot, you can say kick the ball away, whatever you want to do. The referee again chose to have a word. Does Dejan Sterling or Dessers get away with that? I don't think so. That is probably perhaps he's the biggest name on the pitch. But yeah, hopefully it doesn't come back to bite us, mate. But I think you've seen the nasty side of him tonight. Say you've seen it with a slap on Yilmaz. That's, again, we said earlier on that a yellow card, if there was, and I don't want to give FIFA ideas because we'll discuss silly things like this, if there was an orange card, that was probably in there for raising your hands when there was no need to. And then this again, yeah, he could have quite easily been off the pitch and been suspended for next week, which would have been ideal, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been, again, I don't want this to sound blasé, and please don't let us come back and bite me in the arse, but I thought we contained him. I genuinely don't think that he ran too much of his own game tonight, and I think that again, and I can't, you know, praise the team highly enough for this, was down to the fact that we were able to nullify him. I think, Kev, for me, I'm just pissed off because ultimately that's an advantage that we could have had. And what annoys me about this, and you know my refereeing background from this as well, and I think, you know, typically I'd like to think you know me really well, so I'd like to try and be a fair and transparent guy. The thing that annoys me about this is I just don't think he gets a second booking because he's Angel Di Maria. I think that he sees how big a deal it would be and what would happen and all the rest of it, that it's one of those ones, Kev, that see if he wasn't already in a booking, he's getting a booking. But because he is and because of who he is, it's made the referee think, and that's not the application of the law, right? It's not, and that's probably what annoys me more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, we could do a whole show on referees and the wee quirks. We'd speak about the Scottish ones and their strange rules of free hits within the first 10 minutes and stuff like that. European rules, rest of these rules as well with bigger name players and bigger teams. I said on our SPFL show on our network this week that Rangers and the ball across the city will get the benefit of the decisions against the weird teams in our league, but when we go into Europe, we are sort of the underdogs and the teams from the bigger countries will tend to get the benefit of decisions, and I think that's what's happened here. Big name, won everything that has to be won the game, play for some of the biggest clubs in the world, they tend to get a wee bit more leeway than some of the players that we've got kicking about, especially some of the younger ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we'll very briefly, because obviously David will talk about this a lot more on the flagship on Monday, but just keen to get your thoughts on next week, Kev. We know it's a late, early kickoff. Can we say that? It's not a 3 o'clock. It's not an 8 o'clock. It's a stupid quarter to six number. How confident are you feeling now compared to where you were at 8 o'clock on Thursday night?
I don't know. I've been sitting thinking about this, and I've also been sitting thinking about how the crowd situation is, because we know that Ibrox can be like a 12th man, but also it could be like a man down, depending on the mood of it. And I was just, I mean, some of the great European games we've had there have been where we've had to go and win the game. I'm trying to remember the last time where we had to not lose the game, perhaps Borussia Dortmund, because of the work we'd done over there. And that was a sort of slightly apprehensive crowd of, oh, right, it's don't lose this. I always think it's better sometimes when we have to go and win the game, and we encourage the players to go forward rather than don't lose it. So the draw, I think, will help, because we have to go and win this tie to go through. I'm really looking forward to it. The kickoff time, at that time on a Saturday or a Sunday, you're probably okay with it. In a midweek game, it's an absolute stinker when you're at home, but Ibrox will be full, as Ibrox has tended to be on these European nights, because it's that time of the season. It's not early season, it's the last 16, it's big teams, it's big players, and it's Rangers in the Europa League with the back cam and all. So I'm confident we can go through. I've seen enough that I think we can get this team over the line. I think it will still be tight, but I think we can win it by one goal, whether it be 2-1 or 3-2, because I think there will be goals in the tie.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I get what you mean in terms of when it's... Because fundamentally, next week is just a shootout, right? It's just going to be winner-take-all because it's so evenly poised. I understand what you mean, that maybe it would have been a little bit different if we were having to go and chase a goal and do we get another one on top of that. But now we're coming to... I'll be honest with you, looking at what happened on Thursday night in terms of how their home fans reacted, I don't know if they'll bring a lot across to Glasgow. There was a lot of empty seats in that stadium last night, Kev, and I think at this point Benfica fans have pretty much just had enough of it. So how much of a travelling support they'll bring with them to Ibrox, I really genuinely don't know. But I also don't care, because I think you are right, because it's about the noise that we make in the atmosphere we generate. And I know there's been a lot of conversation around the quarter to six kickoff, and I do understand it. I have sympathy for people that it's a pain in the arse because of work. I go back to when we announced it. It was a pain in the arse when we announced it, because if you remember, Kev, we announced it a Friday night, and most of these poor sods had finished work for the week, so they couldn't go back in and ask for a half day on a Thursday until the following Monday. But it has to happen, right? There's no two ways around it. And listen, it's a sacrifice that we make, but Christ, we make sacrifices for Rangers practically every second day in our lives, and we all know that. I do think Ibrox will come alive. I do think it will be our 12th man. I do also think that it will help give those players a little bit of energy when they need it, because again, whilst I fully suspect that we'll probably play on a slightly better surface, Benfica are not a lazy team. They will work us. The most important thing for us is maintain the composure, show what we've done across in Portugal. It's not luck. It's not two, you know, lucky throws of the dice that we got to be able to try and take the lead twice, and you know, misfortune, I think, more than anything else, to concede two equalisers. We can absolutely go through, as far as I'm concerned, and I think that Ibrox will be aware of that, and I think that we will 100% bring the stadium to life next Thursday. So I for one, I'm really, really excited for it. To get us used to late afternoon kickoffs, because I'm close to saying early evening, I'm so glad I didn't. We travel to Easter Road on Sunday, Kev, for a 5:30 kickoff as the Scottish Cup returns. This one, I love talking about games when we go to Easter Road, because it feels like it's one of those grounds that we always have a constant hard battle in, whereas in actual fact, we've done not too bad at Easter Road. That all being said, keen to get your thoughts on how we approach this game within the Scottish Cup. It feels a little to me, and I don't think we'll do this, by the way, right, but it just feels a lot to me like as if we are in a space that we can't be blasé about how we approach this game because it's the Scottish Cup. We are a kick in the arse off of getting to Hampden for what I hope will be two visits in this tournament. But all of that being said, it's also a Hibs team which, let's face it, enjoys putting their game against Rangers. It's going to be a tough game. I'm already thinking to myself about how do we get through it. Minimal injuries, ideally. Minimal strain or impact on the playing squad. Can we go take care of business? And I'll take a chips and hame performance right now.
Oh, if it's 1-0, 2-1, doesn't matter. It's just a win the game. You spoke about the way the manager views cup ties earlier on, and it's spot on. Every time we win a cup, I don't think anyone ever says, oh, do you remember that fourth round replay or that fourth round game against Hibs or whoever? Nobody cares. You win the cup. This is where we really need to ask other players in the squad to start stepping up. Everyone's favourite, Borna Barisic. Redvan put in a hell of a shift, right? I think I commented that I hadn't seen a Rangers player block so many attempts at goal or crosses since Carlos Cuellar. Beeman's done excellent the last couple of months. He really has. We need to help him. Right? We need to help him. I don't think we can ask him to do this for the next 10, 15 games at the end of the season. In the middle of the park, John Lundstrom running on fumes. We really need Raskin to come in and take a pressure off him. If Kamar Roof's got anything to give us, that would be handy if he could show it just now. because we really need to start the squad getting rotated, because as much as we would love to be back in the 90s, Cammy, where you had a squad of 12, and one of them was a sub-goalkeeper who was just a token player, and you went with the same players week in and week out, it's not. We need to rotate. I'd probably see people like Balogun coming back in as well to give Suter a rest. But it's a winnable tie. Look, we'll break it down more and we'll do our hour and a half, 2 hour long preview, however long it lasts this week. Since we played Hibs, they've picked up. They probably should have beat Celtic. Some poor finishing let them down. They lost 2-1. They've beat Inverness. They've drew with Aberdeen. They've beat Dundee. They should have beat Hearts. And then they beat Ross County. So they're on the up from the last time we played them. It'll probably be a more difficult task. But you're right. It's a ground that we've enjoyed success at recently. And realistically, you wouldn't bet against Phil Clement going there and just doing what he does. He just fixes things, doesn't he? I mean, he seems to be really in tune with what the support think. I don't think we've ever sat and gone, what is he trying here? Or what is he thinking? Or if you have, it's fixed within a split second because you see exactly what he's doing. Everything he's done, he's got right so far. So just let's hope it's another Clement masterclass on Sunday.
Yeah, I think there's some great points in there, but one of the things that you've touched on brilliantly, Kev, for me is this manager's ability to, and God, this sounds incredibly simplistic, but bear with me when I explain this, but to manage the squad. And what I mean is being able to support those players who maybe have had a little bit of kind of downturn in form, those players who are performing well but can almost lead by example, and to get them to go across the group, to get to those players who have probably been on the fringes and been able to inspire them about being able to come in and take their turn. And I look towards those guys, like, you know, the Kamar Roofs, the Borna Barisic, the guys who are on the countdown clock in terms of their time at Rangers, most likely. The guys like Ryan Jack, for example, all of that kind of stuff. You know, been able to motivate them to be able to try and come in and step in and really just been able to try and play their part. The guys like John Lundstrom, who, like I say, played so many minutes across, you know, and producing so many brilliant performances, right? You know, been able to try and get him to keep finding that energy and dig down and been able to try and produce it game after game and just going one more time, etc. And we've still got, obviously, 9 league games on top of that as well. I fundamentally believe that Philippe Clement can step into that and he can support the players in the right way, whether it's as a group, whether it's as individuals, and he can keep them going with that. I honestly believe that this is where the League Cup has benefited us, Kev, because, again, I think, you know, having a domestic trophy already sitting in the cabinet helps because you can point to that and go, look, we're capable of getting another one. The league is going to end up taking care of itself, right? Because I don't believe that there was anyone sitting last Friday night saying, do you know what, it'll be, you know, the same points difference come Monday because both Old Firm teams will lose. I don't think anyone said that. But listen, that's the roller coaster, right? So, you know, we're going to have to keep going through that. The cup games, for me, Kevin, are just really, really important just to say you've got another round to go. You've just got one more round to go after that. And just help give that little bit, that kind of motivational tool to the players.
OMR, that's it. One more round. What was the manager's quote? He doesn't believe in impossible. I'm starting to believe him as well, because win, lose or draw, that at the end of this league season, right, if we finish with just one cup or if we finish with four, the job that the manager has done has been amazing. As I say, to go back to what he took over, I've no doubt he would have sat down and the board would have said, look, there's not too much money. You're going to need to work with what you've got. We would have driven most of these players to the airport in January, John Lundstrom included. If you'd asked a lot of supporters back in October, November, they would have said, nah, just let him go. Now the sort of consensus seemed to be re-sign him for another couple of years. The job the manager's done is amazing, night and day. There will be work to do in the summer, but right now it's just one game at a time, one more round, and let's see where we end up. And as we said there, it's just win this game, move on to Europe, and then eventually we get back to the league campaign. But it's just a refreshing change, Cammy, from what we've had to put up with the last couple of years to be in a title hunt and a title chase where there will be twists, there will be drop points on both sides, but hopefully there's more on theirs than there is ours.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, David will be back with you on Flagship on Monday to be able to unpack the game at Easter Road and obviously look forward to the Benfica return leg at Ibrox as well. I'll be back with you next Friday. Before we go, just to thank our executive producers in London, Mike Lee and Paul Myers. Thank you to ZenithCoins.com, our extra show sponsor as well. We've mentioned it a couple of times, and if you don't know where to go by now, goodness gracious, you have not been paying attention. If you want to hear some absolutely fabulous Rangers content, such as the preview show with my wonderful guest Kevin Armstrong on it with his buddies, then head on over to patreon.com/heartandhand. As Kev said earlier on, there's so much happening with Rangers at the moment. Why on earth would you want to miss a single thing? Another reminder as well, folks, as well, that we are very close to sold out for our live show at Leicester Square Theatre down in that city of London, where Heart and Hand will be joined by the one and only Paul Gascoigne. Leicester Square Theatre on the 21st of March at 7 o'clock. We've also got a branch of VIP and VVIP tickets where you get a chance to come along and meet Paul and have a wee photograph with him as well and a signed Rangers top as well. So jump on to the Leicester Square Theatre website. You'll see it on there as well. Don't be a silly billy and buy ones for the Spurs show, which is the night before. It's all about the Rangers, as you all know. So get on to your tickets on there and we'll see you down south with Mr. Gascoigne. Most importantly, as I wrap up for this week on Extra, is to thank my wonderful guest, Mr. Kevin Armstrong. Kevin, thanks much for coming in. I'm sorry that you didn't get your 2-1 expected result, but I'm fairly sure you'd have taken 2-2.
Delighted with it, mate. Absolutely delighted. Listen, I don't mind being wrong if we're still in a tie, and we're very much still in a tie. Thank you for the invite, mate. Speak soon.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. As I say, we'll be back with you on Monday, and have a brilliant weekend. And here's hoping that we're still in that Scottish Cup draw come Monday night. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.